Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hello, fair citizen. Welcome to the latest episode of Let's Talk About 2022. We are reviewing a recent film, which is, I know, hard to believe. I am your super co-host for today. My name is Seb. What's that up in the sky? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's my co-host Elliot. How are we?
I'm very good, thank you. I think they can tell that we plan these intros in advance.
Oh, I think so.
I am wonderful.
Are you feeling super?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, that's nice then. We're here to talk about a film. We saw Superman. I saw it Friday night. You saw it Thursday?
That is true. I did indeed see it Thursday.
Nice. Yeah, I sent you a picture of my popcorn because it has a picture of him on the side, which is just in case you weren't sure what I was watching.
That was impressive. Did you have to buy that separately?
No, I think it was normal. You could buy like those really expensive like cups with like a plastic Superman on it, but I didn't want to do that, so I didn't. But yeah, in case you couldn't tell, we're going to talk about Superman. Now, this is one of many Superman films. I think we've only really talked about like Man of Steel, because we did like a DCEU review, didn't we? And then we talked about what we're excited for the DCU. This was probably one of them in our list. I'm interested to know, Mr. Dawes, what did you think of this film?
Wow, that's an open-ended question, that is.
Oh.
I will tell you my thoughts. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Ah.
And I'm going to tell you what I liked about it without going into too much detail, so we don't spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, because I'm nothing if not a loving person. Mm. This isn't in the trailer, but it literally is the first thing you see. So I don't think this is a spoiler in that regard. But if you're worried about that, well, sorry. It does what I call the Edward Norton Incredible Hulk. This is a story that we've seen so often. You know, Superman's been done a ton. Incredible Hulk had been done. We already knew all about it.
Mm.
And it didn't give us a big, you know, 25-minute introduction into Superman coming down to Earth.
Yeah.
Or into any of that. It was just like, this many decades ago, this happened. This many years ago, this happened.
Yeah.
This many weeks ago, this happened. Days, seconds. And it just... We all know the general story and
Sorry.
And all it does is it just... Thank you. All it does is it just puts it under a nice blanket? This is what we need to know for this universe. This is a couple of things that are different.
Yeah.
And it was quite entertaining as well. It just went straight into it. Kind of like the Edward Norton Incredible Hulk, where we already knew the story from Eric Banner's version. And it was literally, it was all done in like, during the opening credits, I think. Like, it just kind of like showed you everything that happened in like one little collage, and within 3 minutes it was done, and we were going, went straight into the action. So that was the first thing I noticed, because it was the first thing I saw, and it was the first thing I liked.
Oh, that is quite a review. Yeah, I've not heard it being referred to as the Edward Norton Hulk, but yeah, I think they're learning from that a bit more now, aren't they? Like, the Batman, it starts where he's already been doing it for a couple of years. We go straight into a story. We don't need the backstory that we've already had dozens of times, which I think, yeah, I think that was quite a breath of fresh air for a change.
Same with Tom Holland's Spider-Man as well.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever saw the bite happen.
No, we never did.
It was referred to. Same with Uncle Ben's death. We didn't see that happen. It was referred to. No, was it? Yeah.
Does he have an Uncle Ben?
I can't remember. But either way, that whole thing, I know something kind of,
yeah,
in that regard, does happen. But again, it's very different to what we've seen. So I liked that.
What else did you like about this film?
Oh, I'll tell you. What I'll do is I'll just keep talking until you put your hand up telling me to shut up.
Okay.
What I liked. Again, for so many Superman movies, I've only seen a handful. I saw a couple of the originals. Obviously, you've got Man of Steel. And then you've got all the other sort of like DC movies that he's in. And yet somehow they made this very fresh. I mean, it's clearly Superman.
Yeah.
But it's very clearly James Gunn as well.
Yeah.
Throughout it. I think it's nice because a lot of the DC movies we've had, they've been really dark.
Yeah.
You know, it's been quite a heavy kind of like feel. Whereas even though there are some heavy components in this movie, it's number one, it's very bright.
Yeah.
I mean, the Superman outfit shows that. But I think overall, even though, like I said, it does tackle some very heavy themes. Overall, as a whole, how many ways can I say this? Universally. They keep it quite light in general.
Yeah.
I can't really think what I'm trying to say. My brain knows the sentence I want.
I know what
you're
saying.
It's not constructing it into verbals. Thank you. Maybe you can say it in a better way.
Well, I could try. Because, yeah, so my wife pretty much said the same thing. She said, like, it's nice seeing something that's a bit more happy and cheerful. Because everything we've watched recently, like, we really liked Thunderbolts. But, man, that's a heavy film. It's, you know, quite sad. All the other stuff we've seen, Doctor Strange was quite dark. Can't even think of anything else really that we've had. Like, Ant-Man was quite dark.
Guardians 3.
Oh, yeah.
Normally. That's a series that's normally quite. And again, like the Spider-Man movies, like even the movies where they're normally quite light, the latest installments have all been really dark.
Yeah, whereas with this one, it's, as you said, there are elements in this that are quite serious, that are sad. There's things that a bit shocking as well, but the overall tone for this is very optimistic and like cheerful, and it's finding joy in happiness instead of like every character has to have a tragic backstory to like have character growth. Whereas James Gunn has clearly gone, actually, this is a crazy wacky world with nice people, so we're going to make that for a change. And yeah, I think this really stood out as different because of it.
What I like as well is this is, you know how, so like we started off the MCU and it was just Iron Man.
Mm.
And at that time, he was like the only, should we say, superpower.
Yeah.
And then obviously, then Captain America comes from out from the ice. Then you get the whole thing of the Incredible Hulk. And it's like, we suddenly get to this bit where we're now at a point where we're watching a movie and you're thinking to yourselves, oh, how come what's-his-face didn't help out there?
Yeah.
Why, this doesn't make sense. There's so many now. and they all seem to now have come out of the woodwork, even though some of them may already existed. Obviously, there was a big thing. I know it was answered, but as an example, one of the big questions with the Eternals, why didn't they help with Thanos? I know it was answered in the movie, but you get a lot of similar things come out. Whereas one thing James Gunn has done, and we see this in the trailer, is he's already made it a very functioning world.
Yeah.
He's not come in and started completely from fresh and, oh, like we said, here's Superman, he's come down to Earth, there's no one really here over a moment, and then more are going to spawn. We're here, like, there's one bit in the trailer where we are seeing him having a casual chat with Lois Lane, and in the background, you've got a massive alien invasion going on, and there's other superpowers dealing with it.
Yeah.
And we see, like, who some of these are, again, in the trailer. You know, we have, like, a Green Lantern as an example, as well as a couple of others. So, again, it's different, but I think it's a good different as well. It's not just, even though he's starting this whole brand new world, you know, can we believe it, a planned course for the DC Universe. Imagine that, where he's not rushing into anything. But we're stepping right into an already functioning world that's used to superheroes, that's used to alien invasions, where it's just the normal, where you can just be watching TV and just be like, oh yeah, another alien invasion. And I like that.
Yeah, it's clearly planned out in a way that makes a lot of sense. Because, yeah, you're exactly right, because Superman's not the only metahuman in this. Whereas, like, they said about, like, of other stories, like, in Christopher Reeve, he's the only superhero, basically, and he's so powerful in comparison to everything else. Whereas in this, yeah, there's other people going on, and it makes sense why they show up. Everyone knows each other. It's this kind of a bit of a hyper-realized world as well. It's not like the Batman is like Batman, but in a real city, even though that's got its own kind of character to it. This is very much, it's kind of the real world, but also it's got these more larger-than-life elements, which makes it feel like a comic book world, which James Gunn was clearly into his comic stories. And he clearly likes the more obscure characters as well, because we see a lot of those in this, just like we've had in like Peacemaker and the Suicide Squad. It feels like a lived-in world where Superman doesn't stand out too much, but he does for reasons that we'll talk about, I think, in this film.
Another thing I like is, like, if you think about, like, the Justice League, especially, like, the original Justice League one, the original release from the DCEU, is, obviously, there's a picture where it's just, like, you know, Justice League at 100% power, and it's got, like, all of them there. But it's, like, Justice League at 99.9% power, and it's just Superman.
Yeah.
Because he's just, like, he's OP. Like, everything bounces off him, you know. He can just touch them and people go flying.
Yeah.
It's just insane. This version of Superman isn't like that. Again, it's in the trailer. It's in the opening scene. Our first introduction to the Man of Steel, if you will, is he's completely beaten up.
Yeah.
Now, sure, don't get me wrong. As you'll see in the movie, you know, he's definitely Superman. And I won't go into more detail than that. But he's not like this untouchable being.
Yeah.
And it's cool seeing how he gets beaten up and who by.
Yeah.
And again, we'll talk about that more in spoilers. But I like that we've got this slightly more human Superman. Now, people could go, oh, that's not Superman, you know. But it is, because there's so many comic book variations of Superman, just like there is of any character.
Yeah.
That, okay, sure, you get some runs where that Superman in question is like Henry Cavill Superman, where he's untouchable and he's just like bulletproof and all these things.
Yeah.
But then you also have like other ones, like the one that we're both reading, whatever it's called.
All-Star Superman,
Superman something. Yeah, that one. and I think he got, along with like a couple of other different runs, I think James Gunn got a lot of his inspiration from like that type of Superman. We have an older Superman. We've got a weaker Superman. We've got a Superman that can be beaten. Mm. And the fact that we see that straight away, I really like. Because all of a sudden, it's going to make it a lot more interesting. Because that was my issue with Man of Steel, was the fight scene was like half a movie. And all it was just punching each other, but no one was getting hurt.
Yeah, it's very hard to do
now that. Now there's actual consequence.
Yeah, because I when I watched Man of Steel at the time, I liked it. Cause it's like, oh, I finally get to see Superman being awesome and powerful, because I didn't really get to see much of it. And then you go, yeah, but they are just hitting each other and flying through buildings, killing millions of people, destroying an entire city, and there's not a scratch on either of them. There's not much kind of drama with that. Whereas in this one, without having to really depower him that much, he is very vulnerable. Even though he probably is the most powerful, he can be beaten if he's been, you know, studied in the way that he has in this film. But he's still impressive, but the stakes are then so much higher because he's not just completely untouchable, as you said. It makes it so much more compelling. Because it's always been criticised as a character in the modern age of like, you know, he's too good, he's too powerful, he can't be that interesting. I've always found him interesting if he's written well. And I think in this film, they've tried to like make him more beatable to help with that as well. But also what makes him interesting. Because people like Batman because he's cool, because he's, you know, he's tormented or whatever. People like Iron Man because he's cool and he's, you know, cocky, but he's smart and he's quick-witted. So why do people like Superman? What did you think of the character and the actor?
Yeah, I liked it. Again, it was after having Henry Cavill just shoved in your face for the last 10 years?
12 at this point.
2013? Yeah. It's so different. But I liked it because you can tell, and again, it goes into it in the movie, just even though he's super, just how human he is and how he views things. And I think there's a lot of, I mean, I feel like James Gunn's got a lot of inspiration from current events.
Yeah.
based on how the storyline went through. And I think one bit which really shows sort of like Superman's nature, and this was in, like, again, in a trailer, was he does an interview with Lois Lane for the paper. And I won't go into too much detail, because even though it is in the trailer, I can't remember how much of that speech is in.
Yeah.
But it's amazing seeing how a lot of the world today would view something, but how Superman's character here in his basic form is just like, yeah, but that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Why should I keep having to go through all these loopholes when I can just do this and then that stops this? And it's his oversimplification which makes him really stand out, because he is just trying to do the right thing all the time. And he, again, oh, there's so many things I want to say, but I'll leave it till later. Just like, I think this is the most human Superman we've ever had. How he reacts to a lot of things, how he reacts to how people view him, how he wants the world to be. It's just, I really like him. I think he's, you know, Henry Cavill's Superman was amazing in so many ways, but it's hard to kind of like get that connection with him. Whereas with this Superman, and I think the actor done very well with him, is because he seems so much like he's on a human level.
Yeah.
Is you can relate a lot more. Like a lot of the stuff that he was saying, you're like, yeah, that does make sense. Why can't you do that? And then, you know, you think, oh, when another person's talking back to him, like Lois Lane in the interview, you're thinking, oh, that is stupid.
Yeah.
but that is how the world works. So I really like the direction they've gone in. Like I said, no disrespect to Henry Cavill. I'm not saying that this one's any better or that Henry Cavill's any better. They're both just very different beasts. But I like them both for very different reasons.
Mm. Yeah, because it reminds me of Christopher Reeve. He's kind of been the gold standard because he's just got this infectious, charming smile where you think everything's going to be okay. And he's just so positive, and he's not, like, cynical. He wants to help people. He wants to inspire people. And it's just so nice to see. And I think the problem we had with Henry Cavill is that he was mopey the whole time. The way he was written and presented, he barely smiled at all. And you had that one weird scene shot on the cell phone in Justice League, where he's like, doesn't want to talk to this child, whereas a complete different in this one. He's like, you know, he's hugging their kids, he's talking to everyone, he's saving animals. He is just, he's not dumb at all. He's maybe naive, he's maybe a bit simple in what he thinks should happen, but it's because he can't understand, as you said, why we can't just be nice and why can't we just stop bad things from happening in this complicated world. Which, yeah, was, I think for a lot of people, something refreshing to see. A superhero being nice. What a novel idea.
I know. Another thing I liked is, for the first time in a movie, I believe, and I could be wrong, we have Crypto.
I think you're right.
Superdog. Yeah, we've had him in Titans, which was the DC TV show, which was very good. But what did you think of Crypto?
Oh, I like Crypto. Crypto was fun. I love dogs anyway, but having Crypto with his cape charging in, I did like when he's jumping on Superman because he's in pain. It's just hurting him even more. He was very charming, very fun, and a nice addition, really. And because it's not a massive spoiler, but Crypto is not actually Superman's dog. He's looking after him. But so there's that thing of like, you know, oh, come on, stop being silly, Crypto, and like, you know, reluctantly looking after him. But you see the concern he has for him later on in the film. That's actually quite touching. There's a funny scene with Crypto later on, which I'll talk about in spoilers, which did give me a bit of a chuckle.
Yeah, Crypto is great. I like it because it's not just like some super dog that is just like Superman and does this and does that. But he is just like an ordinary dog.
Yeah.
With just really cool powers. And I think that's great. Mm. The other amazing thing from this movie, I think all the actors done very well.
Yeah.
But Lex Luthor.
Oh.
And the guy who done him, whose name I've forgotten.
Nicholas Holt.
Yes. That's what you say when your friend Nicholas is going too far.
Oh.
Brilliant. He done amazing.
Yeah. I was very impressed.
Yeah. Like, he was very evil and very dark in places as well.
Yeah.
But could easily come across as very normal. And I thought that was great. There's one scene where, so without spoiling it, something crazy is going on. And he's just acting completely normal in the room.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it more later, which is just, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, again, I know obviously that's through like editing as well, but still, very cool.
Yeah.
Done a very good job with that.
He's absolutely nailed the role. And a lot of people say he's perfected being the hater. He absolutely hates Superman in this film. And I don't think anyone has been as much of a hater as this Lex Luthor. And he's obviously very intelligent. We see that in the way he fights Superman and everything like that, and just the way he does things. It's quite intimidating. And he's a bit smarmy, and then he does something later on in the film where you go, I really hate this guy. You just want to see him get beaten. But then what's quite interesting is he has like his henchmen in this film who aren't just like soldiers or whatever. They're like, they're employees, but they like believe in the cause, it seems. Like, they love him and they hate Superman. They want him to lose. And it's quite interesting seeing that, because he's obviously got some charisma to him. But yeah, what a surprise. I was seeing an actual good Lex Luthor for a change.
And I think the final thing that we can talk about is the music as well.
Because
The soundtrack is both so nostalgic, but at the same time very modern as well, and very fitting in to the overall theme of the movie. So, and it was throughout as well. Like, the music was very good throughout. So, again, we've talked about a lot, and I think done quite well about spoiling anything.
Yeah.
But pretty much the plot made sense throughout. I thought it was nicely paced. Oh, we haven't really talked about it much, but I suppose we'll do it in spoilers. But the side characters,
yeah,
were very good. We get introduced to some of the other, sort of like the meta-humans, and they're all very cool in their own way. It handles kind of like the serious tones well, but at the same time keeping it quite light in other places. I think that balance was very good.
Yeah.
And I think the overall world that James Gunn and co has built here, where we're kind of stepping into an already functioning universe. I think it's been handled very well, because you could very easily be overwhelmed for everything that's going on. Like, oh, who's this? Why is that? Why is that happening? Yeah. But they've done it in such a way where it's like, okay, this makes sense. It's cut out a lot of this introductory stuff, which we don't need. We've been having that for the last 20 years of superhero movies.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. These are the characters. And it's really cool. So, yeah, really good movie. If you like Superman or just superhero movies in general, I'd recommend it. But to be honest, I would think even if you just want to watch a new film, unless you just do not like superhero movies, give it a watch.
Yeah. It's fun. I think as just a, like, if you're a casual movie goer, just pop and watch this. It's a good time, basically. You know, great music, great acting, really good scenes, some really cool effects. The reusing of the Christopher Reeve movie's soundtrack, the John Williams score, is very cool. As you said, it's quite modernized, but it really works. And then there's some other songs throughout the film. There's a really cool scene which we'll talk about, and then there's like the kind of music at the end is quite moving, I thought. I also really liked Lois Lane. I thought she was actually really good in this. She actually had something to do. The chemistry, I think, definitely worked with the characters. She has so much agency in this film. And there's some really good scenes, which we'll talk about together as well. And everyone, I think, was pretty fun in this. So it's a thumbs up from Let's Talk About.
Who would have thought?
Sure.
But obviously, we want to go into more details into the film. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, we'd recommend you pause it here. Go watch the movie. But you know, if you've already seen the movie or you're just a crazy person, then feel free to stick around as we dive deep into the whole movie.
Oof.
Right, I think we've given them enough time. What should we spoil first?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, so let's talk about the intro where Superman gets beaten up instantly. So he gets beaten up by what's the country?
It's the
Bolivia, Bolivia.
Yeah, the country's Bolivia or Bolivia, and the guy is called the Hammer of Bolivia, even though it's actually Ultraman just in a big suit.
Yeah, which I think is funny. So we see him, he gets beaten up, and then he goes into his little hideout thing. Again, it's got a name.
The Fortress of Solitude.
That's the one, thank you. Listen, I bring some things to this podcast, but that is not, it's not names, okay? It never has been and never will. So he goes into his Fortress of Solitude. We get introduced to, like, his little robot people.
Yeah.
Who are really funny, because they have no emotions.
That's cool.
And I think, is it Alan Tudyk?
Yeah, Alan Tudyk plays Number 4, who's later called Gary. And he's like, I couldn't care less if you lived or died.
And I think it's all beautiful. And then he like uses the sun to heal up, and that's really cool. Then he goes back out and gets beaten up again, and that's great. But again, it's going from what you were talking about earlier, is he's really fighting Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
he's like behind this whole thing, and he's like, it's like he's playing a video game. He knows exactly what moves to use when,
yeah,
just to beat him up. So that's cool. I like it. It's like establishes who the villain is just instantly.
Yeah. Well, because the whole setup for that as well is the, obviously that country is invading Jahanpur, whatever it's called. And there's some not so subtle links to some current wars that are going on. And I like that the instigating thing is Superman intervenes in a conflict like this, because we have all these stories where he's saving cats in trees or he beats a supervillain, but him like getting involved in like geopolitics is quite interesting, because it shows you his character and then the world and the contrast, as you said, where he's like, but Lois, innocent people are going to die. I had to stop it. And I didn't kill anyone to do it. Why is this wrong? And obviously other people don't see it that way. But he can't understand why it's wrong, which is quite interesting. I thought that was a cool way to start this film. And then there's bits where he goes back to the city to fight, and he gets beaten up again. And the guy's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't have got involved in that war. And it's like, oh, it's very interesting.
It is very interesting. And I do love that whole, I thought the way they introduced Lois Lane was cool, because he's just had this fight.
Yeah.
And now he's like dressed up as Clark Kent. And he's gone into the old place.
The Daily Planet.
The Daily Planet. Go right. He's going to the Daily Planet. And he's writing, he's like, oh yeah, I've got this interview with Superman. And they're all kind of like mocking him. And Lois Lane saying a few things like, you know, oh, people are going to wonder why, how you keep getting all these things with Superman.
Yeah.
And of course, then we find out that she already knows and they've just started dating. Oh. And it's all lovely. And then she's like, well, let me interview you. And honestly, that's such an intense scene.
Yeah.
Because he's almost like a kid in that conversation that just doesn't know how to handle all this information that's been thrown at him. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It reminds me a little bit. Did you ever see like that viral video of like the kid's toy where it's like a block and it's got all the different shapes in and you put all like the different
sort of this like goes in the square hole in?
Yeah, and it's just like this poor woman's just like, oh yeah, oh that goes in the circle. She goes, yes, it goes in the square. She's like, oh no. And then Vinny gets like the star, he goes, where's this one go? Oh, it goes in the star hole. No, it goes in the square hole. And she's like having a meltdown.
Yeah.
It reminded me a bit of that. Where it's just like, to him, it's simple. It's just this goes there, this goes there, this goes there, boom, done. But Lois is explaining it in a way where it's just like, no, this isn't how it works. Which is funny because, again, we see it so much today, don't we? Where it's just like, you know, normal humans would just be like, well, surely if this happens, then that's sorted. But that's just, it's so much more complicated than that.
Yeah, because she says about, like, you know, did you speak to the president? Did you speak to so-and-so? And he's like, no. And it's like, so you flew into a country, kidnapped the president, you know, assaulted him, interrogated him. He's like, no, it's not quite what happened. And, you know, he said, well, people were going to die. And, you know, how am I supposed to just, like, not do anything? And he's like, you and I both know that they're evil. And she's like, I'm almost certain. But, you know, without proof, without knowing for a fact, I can't act on those things. And that's the difference. It's like he knows what's right and wrong. And he has to do that. And with all this, his motivation is Bradley Cooper basically told him as Jor-El to be good in the first half of a recording. And so that's kind of how he set his entire life. And so that's basically what drives him.
Yeah. And that was all interesting with the, how then like Lex Luthor and his minions were able to like uncover the second half of this recording.
Yeah.
Because I don't I can't remember. Because I don't know too, I can't remember Superman much. Like, I remember sort of like overall how I felt about the films and the plots. Is that something that's happened before where Jor-El has just been like, you need to take over this planet? Has this been another media?
So,
is this standard?
I wouldn't say it's standard. For what I've heard, there's obviously lots of different stories. It's almost 100 years old at this point. And there have been stories where Jor-El isn't necessarily a good guy. A lot of the time it's, you know, Krypton's dying, we'll send him somewhere where he'll be safe. So they send him to Earth. Sometimes a story, Jor-El has like already contacted the humans. There's other stories like in Man of Steel where he's like, you can guide them. You know, you can be the beacon of hope that will inspire them and they'll join you in the sun. That's like one of the best things in that movie. I liked that this one was very different, where it's like he thinks he's been sent there to be basically a hero and to save everyone. But it turns out, no, you're there to rule them and have a harem of wives. Be horrible. What a shock.
I know. And from Bradley Cooper as well.
Oh.
The other thing I liked is it's got like the Superman robots, which are really cool. But it's basically just Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the cast list. But you had like Pom, you had Michael Rooker. Who else did you have? I feel like there's another one, but I can't remember. But I'm sure there was more and I can't find them in the cast now. And I could be lying to all of you, but I'm pretty sure
there were
others. Yeah, there was also, you know, a few other cameos as well. So my favourite one was Peacemaker.
Yes, that was funny.
Superman on the talk show. That was great. You also had Sean Gunn making an appearance again in an interview as well.
Yeah, I love that because he goes, cool. Oh, I think conservatives and liberals can all agree that Lex Luthor sucks, which was fun.
It was very fun. But one thing we haven't really talked about has been the Justice Society?
So this is the Justice Gang.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, cool. Yeah, so the Justice Gang. And of course, we've got the man who always seems to appear in every single superhero movie, somehow, in some way, shape, or form. The Firefly himself. I can't remember his name.
The rookie.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion. Yeah. Oh, that's a first for me. Yeah. it reminds me of that song. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
From The Rookie. So, yeah, but he was one of the old, you know, green people, Green Lanterns.
You are so good.
Yeah. I honestly, if it's one thing I should definitely be doing, is a podcast on things
with names.
Yeah.
He's Guy Gardner. He's a bit of a jerk. He's like the fourth best Green Lantern, which is a lot of fun.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think for someone who's clearly so serious, everything he does is so funny.
Yeah.
And I love that. I just love a dynamic between the whole group, because you also have a Hawk Girl.
Yep.
Who also was in Titans.
Ah.
And she was interesting, because then she was just like, she reminded me a little bit of the woman with a stupidly long name in Deadpool. You know, one of the two X-Men you see.
Oh.
With the short hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, because she's
like,
a bit...
she's quite serious.
Yeah, she's a bit cynical and jaded and doesn't want to be a hero. She just wants the money or whatever.
Yeah. Such as, like, right at the end, when she's carrying the president, he's just like, I'm not scared. I know you won't kill me. And she's just like, what? Who told you that? And then just drops it.
Yeah. Because just like, before that, she's flying in his palace and, like, screaming at everyone and throwing a hammer at everyone. That whole sequence was brilliant. Because she is a bit crazy, obviously, but she was, again, one of the characters that's like, huh, maybe I could do something good. And then we had our third member, Mr. Terrific.
Honestly, if I could describe him in one word, it'd be cool. I liked him.
Yeah, he was very fantastic.
Getting somewhere else, didn't you? No, that's in the next film we're going to watch. Yeah. No, he was great. It was, I think, the most James Gunn scene for me was when Lois went to him to ask for help to find Superman. Superman had been captured.
Yeah.
And he finds where he last was, and they go there, and it's like this kind of like half military base type thing.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you shouldn't be here. And they're about to like attack him, and he just like puts Lois in like a little orb and just like, stay here. And it's just, you barely hear anything. And it's a proper Guardians of the Galaxy, a Suicide Squad scene, where you just got the music going on, it's happy, it's fun, and he's just completely just like beating up everyone.
It's so good. And it's 5 years' time.
It's
and
phenomenal.
It's such a funny contrast. And he's got this really nice happy music as he's punching everyone in the face and throwing orbs at everyone. Oh.
It's so good. I just loved that team.
Yeah, they're really together. Fun.
Going back to Nathan Fillion's character, is at some point in the scene, Lois and Superman having that, we talked about this earlier, like this really serious discussion, and in the background, you just got like this alien invasion, like this massive alien, I can't remember what it was.
It was an intergalactic imp or something?
That's the one, yeah. And you've got the Justice Gang, sort of like going at it from afar, and then you just see like this massive like hammer,
yeah,
green hammer just going up hitting him, and all these other weird things, and it's so stupid.
Well, because especially
yeah, it's so funny at the same time
with the other Green Lanterns, like John Stewart or one of them has like understands like chemical engineering, so they can make like really like complex like machines and like tools and stuff. And then you've got this guy with a bowl cut. He's just using a giant baseball bat, and he does like the middle finger. It's so simple in comparison.
Oh dear, it's beautiful. Another thing we had was the two post-credit scenes. Did you stay for both of them? I forgot to tell you about them. And I don't know if I loved them or hated them.
Mm.
I'm not too sure. Because I saw there was a mid-credits and a post-credits. And I presumed one would be something a bit fun, and the other would be like a build-up to something happening in the future, because that's just what my Marvel mind is used to. And which one was the first one again? Do you remember?
So the first one is Clark and Crypto just chilling on the moon. That was really sweet.
Mm. Yeah. And again, like, that was lovely. Like, oh, that's cool. I like that. I mean, I'm getting excited for, like, for the last one. Of course, the credits take ages.
Yeah.
And what was the last one again? I can't quite remember.
So,
I do. Okay. But you can still tell us.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's Superman and Mr. Terrific are in the city, and you're staring at the building that's got the crack up it, and he's looking at it, and it's like, it's slightly off. And he's like looking at it like, oh, it's off, isn't it? And Mr. Terrific gets like really offended. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything by it. And it's, yeah, it's a short little scene. It was quite fun. I think the problem is if you're going to have to wait for credits for something like that, people will be disappointed. But, like, I liked the moon scene. It was very sweet, just seeing them chilling there. And then this scene was quite fun. But a lot of post-credit scenes used to be like that. It'd be like a callback to something in the film, or be like a little joke or something like that. Whereas Marvel made them all set up for other films, which is a bit annoying, because you have a conclusion to the film, and then but then this is happening next, so it doesn't really conclude. Whereas any setup for the sequel, apparently he said, was in the film. So obviously we have like Supergirl and other stuff like that. I like that, because I think James Gunn said about how he didn't like some of the post-credit scenes he did in Marvel, like with Guardians. I think having Adam Warlock and stuff, because it's always a teaser for something. But what did you think?
Yeah, like I said, is a part of me was like, oh, this would be, especially because it's the start of a universe, I would have loved to have seen something. It doesn't have to be much. You know, like, for example, at the end of, was it Captain America or was it Iron Man 2? Where it's just like, oh, we've uncovered something, and it was Thor's hammer. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not like a cliffhanger or anything like that. It's just, oh yeah, we got, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't expecting anything like Iron Man, where it's Nick Fury coming to meet him and was talking about the Avenger Initiative. As cool as that is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also liked that it was such a well-rounded film, and then the two post-credits were just something a bit more chill.
Yeah.
I think if they continue like that, my MCU brain will get used to it and will actually quite like it.
That's it. It's just, you'd have to deprogram so many people at this point, though.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen Rick and Morty, but you'll always have the Rick and Morty episode, and then I'll do the credits. I mean, at the end of the credits, I'll just do like a 10-second scene.
Yeah.
Like a callback something in the episode. It makes no difference to the plot line at all. But it's not just something stupid and funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got used to it for that, so I get used to it for this. Yeah, but it was good. But yeah, you mentioned Supergirl making an appearance. I think she's the next movie, next year.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, I think that'd be quite interesting to see, because her characterization's a bit different. She's a bit of a brat. She's off drinking at a red sun, because you can't get drunk on a yellow sun. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be very good, because again, I think the only Supergirl we've had has been in The Flash, which me and you view very differently.
Oh, yeah, the movie you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, because that was quite different to the ones we've been used to, because there was like a movie back in the 80s or 90s, which was apparently atrocious. We've had, obviously, the Supergirl TV show, which I liked season one, even though it's very cheesy. And then we had a different kind of Kara Zor-El in The Flash. I thought she was quite cool, but I guess it didn't have much to do with her. But this could be interesting, because Krypto is her dog, and the interesting part of the character is the fact that she left Krypton as a teen, I think. So she saw what Krypton was like, she saw the destruction, so she actually has those memories, but because of being trapped in the Phantom Zone or whatever, gets to Earth after Clark does. So, because one of the points that was brought out is that if Clark's parents did send him here to take over everyone, wouldn't she have said something? But somebody said that, but would she want to tell him that? You know, it's like, because that would be quite depressing for him. So she's maybe carrying a lot of guilt and kind of pain and everything. So that could be quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's been a great start. I know that it's not the first thing that James Gunn's put out for the DCU. I know you've got the Creature Commandos. Which I still don't think is in the UK yet. And I think they've already started showing a second season in the US, or it's at least...
Great.
So I'd like to see that at some point, but I'm looking forward to it. One thing you've not touched on, and I probably won't go into too much detail just because otherwise I think we'll be here for a lifetime, which isn't a bad thing, I suppose. Yeah. But is the rest of the characters in the Daily Planet?
Yes.
One character I think was underutilized was the boss.
Perry, yeah.
He was great. He is like, he's that standard superhero boss in a newspaper company, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But how he handled everything with his little cigar in his mouth as well was very cool. And we've also got like the other kind of like main side character, I'd say, whose name I've forgotten.
Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, that one. Because I think, is there talks of him and Mr. Terrific having like their own side shows?
Yeah, I heard about them having spin-off shows because they seem to be, well, they've been received quite well, I think, from a lot of people. I love how Jimmy Olsen is this ladies' man. It's so great.
It's amazing. And also, like, because he's like, he has to text his ex,
yeah,
who is now Lex Luthor's girlfriend?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
And all she does, she's just constantly taking, like, selfies all the time of different things. And it's like, when she finally wants to give him all of Lex Luthor's information, she just sends him all these selfies. And he's like, oh, yeah, what has she done? She's so dumb. But it turns out she was actually really smart. And the entire time, she's like putting like a little facade to take pictures of all these contracts and maps and important documents. And yeah, that was really cool.
I really liked that. So I liked that. I thought that was a really cool choice for the character instead of just being a dumb kind of bimbo. But I do like that she's like, oh, can we hang out this weekend? And he's always like, oh, what, the whole weekend? So that was fun.
It was very good. Was there anything else you want to talk about with regards to this movie?
If I'm honest, I could talk about this for hours. I really liked this. This film has affected me emotionally. There was a few scenes that were very touching. I really liked when when Lois and Mr. Terrific save him from that pocket dimension. That was all really cool. I really liked that. But then when they go to the Clark Kent farm and you see his parents, it's like, oh, it's quite interesting. They're very, like, very southern and
normal.
Yeah, and somebody said that they're, like, the only normal people in the entire film, really, because everyone else is hyper-realized. And they're so nice, they're so sweet. And I really like when Clark's on the bench and he has that conversation with Pa Kent, because he's not expounding these amazing words of wisdom because he's a normal guy. But what he says is so good, because he says about, you know, it's not up to parents to decide what kids do. You know, it's just you have to be there to support them. And that whole scene really got me, especially because we've lacked that in some of the other kind of material. So that really got to me. And the swelling music and everything, I was like, oh, this is so good. And then I really like towards the end where Clark's back at the Fortress of Solitude and they go, oh, show him the video of his parents because it soothes him. And I thought, oh, is this going to be the joke of, while it soothed him in the earlier part of the film, it's actually going to be really hard for him now because of the next part of the message. But no, they've actually playing his real parents now, which is Ma and Pa Kent. And that was so sweet. And the music was so good for the like closing credits and everything. And it was just so nice. I think this film is just so good at showing a positive person being nice and then inspiring everyone. And it just felt awesome. He saves a squirrel. It's like, it's so cool.
Yeah. Honestly, the scene which we see in the trailers where he's like, he's rescuing, I can't remember if it's a kid.
Yeah.
Or something, and it slows down and puts his back towards, like, everything. It's very, very good. Like I said, with this movie, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's one of my favourite movies of all time. It's not. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's like, you know, 10 out of 10 for me. It's not. But I think this is an amazing start to the DCU, just like Iron Man was. Because to me, Iron Man isn't a 10 out of 10 movie. But it's up there. It's like 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 8.5, one of those numbers. It's a very, very good, solid start, which introduces you to the universe. And I think this is exactly the same. So, yeah. I'm very excited to see what comes next.
Yeah, I think I agree, because there was also a question of how you're going to do Iron Man on the big screen, because he's not likable and all this other stuff. And I think they nailed it. It's like, you've got this cocky, arrogant, smart guy who actually wants to do better and have got really cool CGI. And I think the same for this. It's like, we finally have the good Superman, because for years now we've had like The Boys, which is an evil Superman, Invincible, which is an evil Superman. We had the Injustice games, which is literally an evil Superman. We had Henry Cavill, who was a depressed Superman. So seeing the actual thing and seeing it work, I think, was so nice to see. And in the movie, it inspires all the other people. But I think in real life, it's like it's healing a lot of people who are just so sad of the way the world is. And it's just really nice to see. And I'm happy and I really enjoyed it. So one thing I really liked is in the pocket dimension, it turns out Lex Luthor's got a bunch of mind-controlled monkeys that are constantly on social media saying horrible things about Superman. That really made me laugh.
Yeah, because that was the other thing I was talking about earlier, is how you see how human he is, because he gets upset with how people view him.
Yeah.
So just because someone's called him, you know, some naughty words on the internet, it's like made him all upset and angry. And he's like, he's looking at what people think about him on the internet as well.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I love the dynamic that he has with Lois.
Yeah.
As well. And again, like you, this is a movie where there's so much to unpack. And I know full well that the moment we say our goodbyes on this episode, I'm going to start thinking throughout the day of different bits, different characters. Oh, we should have mentioned him. Oh, we could have talked about that person. And I generally think we could spend ages on this movie. But I forbid it. No.
Yeah. There's only so much time.
But I think those me are like my... Yeah, I think those me, they're like my standout parts. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this movie a lot more in future episodes when we talk about other things related to the DC, because it's now, this film's like on the pedestal. This is now, this is what we're going to be comparing the other parts to. So yeah, you got a thunderstorm on your end or something?
Yeah, it's just started raining.
Oh nice, that was very loud.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was like, whoa, no it's fine. It's, you know, it kind of wasn't the atmosphere I was going for. But I don't know how you can really sort of like make sound of sunshine and rainbows. That's beautiful. But anyway, those are our thoughts on Superman. But of course, we would love to hear your thoughts. So, Seb, how can we hear the listeners' thoughts?
Oh, well, you know, if you look up to the sky, you might see. No. You can email us at our email address, which is letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com. Or you can message us on Instagram. That's lta.podcast. Or you can do a rain dance, and I'll probably hear and see a bunch of thunder and lightning. I'm pretty sure I just saw Flash. Ooh. Just looking to see if they've got any quotes for this yet, but I'm guessing it's still quite fresh. But yeah.
Wow. Enjoy your storm. So yeah, we hope to hear your thoughts, and I'm sure Seb, who is also our social media director, will indeed put a poll up or something on the old Instagram. So that'd be lovely to see. But obviously, kind of like I was shown in Superman, the world's a bit of a mess right now. We know everyone's struggling. And, you know, certain parts of media can help, such as Superman, as Seb has said. You know, it's been a real healing for the nations. But, of course, it only goes so far. But what will fully heal you? We have the following words that Seb is going to tell you to really help you, at least until you hear our beautiful voices again. So, Seb, what have you got to tell us?
Well, I think maybe this podcast is the real punk rock.
That's such a niche. That's beautiful. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.